This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello, welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Douglas Impuga, and here is what's coming up.
Tanzania has taken important and meaningful steps, and President Joe Biden and I applaud you.
Thank you.
You have been open to working with the political opposition.
U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris has praise for reforms in Tanzania, and she visits with young entrepreneurs. We'll have more coverage on Harris's trip in the show, and Kenyan protests today are again marked by violence. All this and more coming up on Africa News Tonight.
Working together, it is our shared goal to increase economic investment in Tanzania and strengthen our economic ties. Yeah. I am pleased to announce a series of new initiatives. One, the Export-Import Bank will sign an MOU with Tanzania, which will facilitate up to $500 million in U.S. exports to Tanzania. Madam President, under your leadership, Tanzania has taken important and meaningful steps. And President Joe Biden and I applaud you.
Thank you.
You have been open to working with the political opposition. We have discussed that. You have lifted the ban on political party public rallies. You worked to improve the freedom of the press.
That was U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris announcing new plans to boost trade and investment in Tanzania. She made the comments today at a briefing with Tanzania President Samia Suluhu Hassan. Harris arrived in Tanzania yesterday. In addition to her meeting with the president, she also visited Technology Entrepreneurial Hub. Idi Uweso attended the media briefing President Samia Suluhu Hassan and U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris gave today in Dar es Salaam. I reached him earlier for more details.
People are excited here in Dar es Salaam. There has been a lot of programs today. Vice President started by having a talk with President Samia in the State House and then came out to speak to journalists on what they have been discussed. And Vice President Kamala Harris explained that they have been agreed to partner with Tanzania in sectors like infrastructure, transportation, digital technology, climate and energy security projects.
What else did they talk about in the press conference?
During their press conferences, Vice President Kamala Harris explained that they have been in discussion with Tanzanian to facilitate up to $500 million to finance U.S. companies in export goods and services to Tanzania. So this is mainly in sectors of infrastructures, transportation, and digital technology. Also, she mentioned about the new partnership in 5G technologies because they believe they want to ensure that communication sectors also grow up. And that's why they have launched this new partnership on 5G technology. Also, Vice President Kamala Harris mentioned that the U.S. government is supporting the collaboration of the government of Tanzania and private sector partnership. And that's why they've been harmonizing the more U.S. companies to come and invest in Africa. She gave an example of a new plan by Lightzone Metals, who wants to open a new processing plant in Tanzania for minerals that goes into electric vehicle batteries. That project, as she mentioned, that will be of benefit for the both sides, taking into account that they are encouraging the innovations and technologies in Africa and world at large.
Tanzania has been praised for trying to get on the road to democracy. Was anything about good governance and democracy mentioned?
On the issue of democracy, Vice President Kamala Harris commends Tanzanian President Samia Suluhu Hassan. For example, she removed the ban of political rallies and give now room for most of political parties to conduct their duties. And she said that if this continues, means Tanzania now is going to have is going to be one of the countries that uphold democracies, and that is good for the development of the country and its people.
What's on the program for the Vice President Kamala Harris?
Mainly today, it was a busy day for her because after having a talk with President Samia, she headed to a National Museum Center where she put flowers in remembrance of the people who lost their lives during the U.S. embassy bombing in 1998. And then she went to visit Tanzanian Startup Association, where she met with the upcoming entrepreneurs and young people who are investing in digital world.
That was Idi Uwesu. He spoke with me from Dar es Salaam. U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris Thursday met young Tanzanian entrepreneurs and innovators to discuss ways they can enhance their products and partner with U.S. companies. U.S. Mike Howe has more.
Gibson Kawago, the founder of Waga, a Tanzanian company focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries, was among the young entrepreneurs who were able to engage the U.S. Vice President. Kawago says Harris was impressed by how youth in the East African nation are working together to address the challenges residents face.
I was very impressed with the innovations that we have right here because we were innovators who were interconnected. So we are totally different startups, but during the conversation, she found out that so many startups, this startup is working with this startup, solving the same different problems, but interconnected.
Harris's office Thursday released a statement that announced U.S. plans to bolster trade with Tanzania. Kawago says the announcement will create opportunities for several entrepreneurs, including those registered with the Tanzania Startup Association, or TSA.
It is good that the TSA has a great connection with the USA. So, like right now, different opportunities that will be coming towards Tanzania will mostly land at the TSA then, because the TSA knows all the innovators here. They know exactly what we do. So we are happy that our connection has been strengthened and now we can access different opportunities.
Lillian Madeje, the founder of Niajiri Platform, a Tanzanian tech startup focused on helping graduates find employment, said Harris was impressed by their work.
One of the key things that resonated with her is just what we're doing, which is more than just a CV, doing assessments, getting to understand the personality. And we spoke more around transferable skills. She linked it to her talks with clean energy, climate change, and how hiring for that particular sector is now that they're going more than just the technical skills to the transferable skills. And that's exactly what we're working on right now.
Madeje said she's happy that Washington is investing in Africa's tech sector, which is the fastest growing on the continent.
This particular space 10 years ago was not as vibrant as it is right now. So what is this telling me, her visit and, just like the exposure that we're all getting in terms of a global landscape, is the fact that there is innovative minds and youth who are doing amazing things in this side of Africa.
Madeja's sentiments were echoed by Zwena Farah, the co-founder of Sandbox Co-Working Space, the organization that hosted Harris and the young entrepreneurs.
So her contribution in terms of how we can access, or rather the opportunities that are being placed, was an eye-opener for most of us. Although some of the startups that we're showcasing are startups that have American investors. So for the others who are budding entrepreneurs and putting their products out in market, that was a good conversation to have.
Harris also met with Tanzanian President Samia Suluhu Hassan, who she hailed as a champion of democracy. The two officials discussed how to improve economic ties between their nations and strengthening democracy in the region. The U.S. Vice President leaves for Zambia Friday evening, where she'll wrap up her tour, which began in Ghana. Reporting for VOA Africa, I'm Mike Hove.
Medical Teams International, a global humanitarian and health organization, has commended Vice President Kamala Harris for her visit to Tanzania. Medical Teams is grateful for the increased visibility she will bring to some of the unique challenges and opportunities facing this nation. Dr. George Mwita, Medical Teams Country Code Director for Tanzania, tells me that a major challenge Medical Teams works to address is removing barriers to healthcare for refugees in Tanzania, many of whom arrive from the Democratic Republic of Congo.
We are just excited that the Vice President is around. As an organization, We are proud because we are an American organization, and we have been in progress in terms of supporting our people, especially in the refugee setting. Most importantly is the fact that one of the organizations from the American people, BPRM, have been very, very supportive. In the last 5 years, they have given medical teams international to close to $15 million US dollars to support activities that are related to the displaced people, which we find very, very important in terms of responding to sudden emergencies as well as the long-term crisis. And therefore, for her to come around, we are proud that he should be able to at least, apart from looking at the kind of economic activities that we are doing, the economic and the other relationships, we are interested also to see that to say thank you, because the American people have been working very seriously and very, very closely to Tanzania, with the Tanzania group.
What challenges does Medical Team International face in Tanzania right now?
Well, at the moment, as we are speaking, actually, we are responding to a crisis. There is an influx from Democratic Republic of Congo due to the ongoing conflict in North Kivu. There are a number of people, refugees, who are actually in Kigoma as we are speaking now. And this is unprecedented because it was not part of our contingency, bearing that we were expecting maybe to have this happening during the election period. Unfortunately, at the moment, we're talking about over 6,300 refugees who are at Kigoma. And what we are doing as an organization now, we are trying to do the medical screening and ensuring that we are able to support life-saving services to this particular group of people. We are at the moment seeing how we can have the same group remaining in Kigoma, but at the same time getting them moved to the refugee camp. So we are working around the clock to ensure that all this is happening, and especially with the government talking about Marburg disease, we have been putting up some very pertinent strategies to ensure that this does not hit us. One thing that we are doing at the moment is that we are really trying to set up a mobile health clinic so that we are able to support the refugees. But at the same time, they'll prioritize the caring for the mental health of these people that we are serving by providing them with some group therapy as well as individual therapy, basically.
How can donors or governments like the one in the United States do to help support your work?
As we are talking now, as I've already indicated, the issue here is that we did not plan to have this. Already, Tanzania and medical teams specifically, we have been fighting reduced funding, especially in the refugee setting, bearing in mind that a number of donors have focused their efforts to the other areas like the Russia and the Ukraine issues, and the other day on the Turkey Syria. So at the moment, we are actually deficient of key medical supplies, infection net. We are looking for a medical staff who are able to support at the moment. We are talking about already cases where the current refugees are not able to access actually the basic standard that we are supposed to be giving to them. So in the event that we are looking for donors at the moment, we need to see how we can get this kind of financial support, but at the same time, any kind of in-kind support. For some of these patients who are coming have already some complications, and therefore they have to be taken to other higher or tertiary organizations. So essentially, every week we are spending close to $7,000, and therefore, if this is likely to go beyond maybe this month, we are already in a crisis, essentially.
That was Dr. George Mwita, Medical Team's Country Director for Tanzania. He spoke with me from Dar es Salaam. You're listening to Africa News Tonight. I'm Douglas Impuga in Washington. U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris travels to Zambia tomorrow to end her week-long African trip. Key on her agenda during the trip is a scheduled meeting with President Hakainde Hichilema to discuss multilateral agreements and to deepen ties between Washington and Lusaka. The visit comes as Zambia appears to be receiving a lot of attention from the U.S. Earlier this year, U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen visited. VOA's Peter Kilote reached Zambian Foreign Minister Stanley Kakubo via Microsoft Teams to hear what Zambians expect from the visit.
Our expectations are extremely high. We're expecting that there should be high pronunciations on the next level of our bilateral relations. There should be pronouncements in U.S. investments in our country. I think that is what the Zambian public, the Zambian youth, who are really the owners of this country, are looking out for. What message is she bringing to our country? That's very important for us. For us, it means that if there's high-level investments, more foreign direct investment, that means that we can add value to our natural resources. It also means that the youths who voted our government in can be assured of jobs. We're also looking forward to pronouncements that from not only from the vice president, but also from the private sector players from the U.S. that she's coming to Zambia. We are aware that she's coming with a wide spectrum of U.S. investors.
That was Zambian Foreign Minister Stanley Kakubo. He will have more on this interview on tomorrow's show, and you can hear all of it on Nightline Africa with Peter Kilote on Saturday and Sunday. Former Olympic runner Oscar Pistorius has applied for parole and is expected to attend a hearing on Friday that will determine if he can be released 10 years after killing his girlfriend, Riva Stankep. The AP reports her parents opposed his release and are allowed to address the parole board on his hearing. The 36-year-old Pistorius was sentenced to 13 years and 5 months in prison for killing his girlfriend in 2013 by shooting her multiple times through a bathroom door in his home. He told the court he thought he was shooting an intruder. Pistorius made history as the first amputee runner to compete in the Olympics in 2012. He also captured several medals in the Paralympics. British officials have begun collecting information about vote buying and other anti-democratic practices and may impose visa bans and other sanctions against politicians who engaged in electoral fraud in Nigeria's 2023 election. Our reporter from Abuja takes a look at the implications of the sanction on Nigeria's democratic process.
British authorities say the individuals who could face sanctions are those who engaged in violence and voter suppression in the governorship and state assembly elections on March 18th. The decision comes after the United States condemned the use of inflammatory language by some public and political figures. Constitutional lawyer May Nasirikogo Umar commended the British and U.S. actions, saying they could help bring stability to Nigeria's democratic process.
It is a wake-up call on Nigerians to really see to the possibility of inflicting penalties on those that are undermining the democratic processes. I do really appreciate the fact that they are coming here to help sanitize our democratic experiment because of the weakness on the side of the Nigerian legislation to really see to the enforcement.
The British High Commission in Nigeria also said there were positives to take away from the elections, but it noted that violence and voter suppression were observed in many states, including Lagos, Enugu and Rivers. Some Nigerians have argued that the US and Britain should not get involved in the country's electoral process because it's interfering in Nigerians' sovereignty. Others, however, say it is a diplomatic act of national interest. Obole Amedu Ode is a former Nigerian ambassador to Singapore and former spokesperson for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Ode calls sanctions symbolic but wonders how effective they would be.
Our dear country is experiencing a lot of strains and stresses. We don't know how much bandwidth we have in order to accommodate the amount of strain and stresses the political economic structure of Nigeria is going through. What with the hiccups in the electoral processes, protests here and there. If these two Western countries can help or can support Nigeria's democratic electoral processes to become better by way of sanction, very well. But I have my doubts.
Ode said Nigerians will be interested in what criteria Britain and the US use for applying sanctions on erring politicians. The British High Commission also hailed the commitment to democracy that many Nigerians demonstrated despite being faced with intimidation and hostility during the 2023 general elections. For VOA News from Abuja, Nigeria.
Fresh opposition demonstrations in Kenya today were marked by violent clashes. Protesters threw stones at police. Many people support the protests, but are expressing frustration at how they are affecting their communities. This is the third protest since last week. Opposition leader Raila Odinga has called on his supporters to protest high living costs and alleged fraud in last year's election. Two protesters have died in clashes with police. The African Union and Kenyan religious leaders have called for calm. Odinga, who lost last year's presidential election, challenged Ruto's victory, but the Supreme Court upheld the result. Reporter Fred Omulo is in the city of Kisumu and has been speaking with people there about the protests. Susan Wafala says she thinks the protests need to continue.
Well, for me, I feel these protests are very legal. They are very okay because the country is going through a lot of issues. The cost of living is so high. The taxes we are paying is too much. And yet we are not seeing the results. So we feel we need to protest until and when we get the rights that we deserve as a country. I think the two parties should just sit down and talk because this is getting out of hand.
Gerard Omondi says he understands that people are angry about the economic problems, but he says he opposes the protests.
It's very unfortunate today that we had interruption in our lives, in our businesses, in our family, in our education sector. While I appreciate the fact that individuals are protected by the Constitution and have the right to picket and to demonstrate and protest, I strongly believe that this should be done within the confines of law and with also respecting your neighbor's rights as well.
Collins Oguyu says he supports the protests because, like many Kenyans, he's affected by rising prices, but he says they must be peaceful.
But now when you look at the other, the flip side, where people are looting supermarkets, shops, attacking people on the streets, also provoking policemen, then now that goes against the whole idea of why we're doing it in the first place. Because people are suffering, we are going to the streets because we want to alleviate the suffering. But now if you're adding more suffering to shopkeepers, to supermarket businesses, and to other pedestrians, then it makes the whole protest a non-starter from the word go.
Odinga has called for protests every Monday and Thursday, although the Kenyan government has banned them. And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Douglas Impuga in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, Mokbil Yeboro, and our engineer tonight, Shogun Chang, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.
Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station.